The Holy Gospel according to Luke, the 24th chapter. Jesus himself stood among the disciples and said to them, "Peace be with you." They were startled and terrified and thought that they were seeing a ghost. He said to them, "Why are you frightened? And why do doubts arise in your hearts? Look at my hands and my feet. See that it is I myself. Touch me and see. For a ghost does not have flesh and bones as you see that I have." And when he had said this, he showed them his hands and his feet. While in their joy they were disbelieving and still wondering, he said to them, "Have you anything here to eat?" They gave him a piece of broiled fish, and he took it and ate in their presence. Then he said to them, "These are my words that I spoke to you while I was still with you, that everything written about me in the law of Moses, the prophets, and the Psalms must be fulfilled." Then he opened their minds to understand the scriptures, and he said to them, "Thus it is written that the Messiah is to suffer and to rise from the dead on the third day, and that repentance and forgiveness of sins is to be proclaimed in his name to all nations, beginning from Jerusalem. You are witnesses of these things." The Gospel of the Lord. I can't remember exactly when it happened or who was with me. It could have been a Wednesday evening in Lent when folks were here for Bible study and worship, or another night when one of our committees walked around the building as part of a discussion about better signage or a malfunctioning thermostat or a new roof leak. There's always something. Anyway, I hadn't gotten far enough ahead of the group to get the lights turned on where we were going, and so it was kind of dark. And someone commented, jokingly, of course, I think, that they sure hoped we wouldn't run into any First Lutheran Church ghosts. Now, I have spent a lot of time in this building over the last 10 and a half years. Often, other people have been on the premises, but I've been here on countless occasions, completely alone, early in the morning, very late at night. I've walked the hallways, gone into the boiler room, gotten stuff out of the space we affectionately refer to as the dungeon. Though I've never felt uncomfortable during my solitary wanderings, I do know two First Lutheran members. Some of you will remember Dillis Schuttler and Nancy George, who were once very spooked by an experience they had on the stairs leading from the High Street narthex back there down to the lower level. You know, the stairs the choir comes up. Dillis and Nancy couldn't really explain what happened, and for those of you who didn't know them, they were no-nonsense types, not prone to foolishness. Let's just say they got the heebie-jeebies. This morning, we heard about that time Jesus' disciples got the heebie-jeebies. And you can't blame them, really. I mean, you and I are already at the third Sunday of Easter, so we've been celebrating the good news that Christ is risen for weeks now. But the folks in our reading from the Gospel of Luke haven't gotten that far yet. For them, it's still the first Easter day. The news is just starting to spread that Jesus' tomb is empty. And now there are stories starting to spread that a few people have actually encountered the risen Lord. For instance, Cleopas and his friend who walked with Jesus on the road to Emmaus and finally recognized him when they sat down to eat together. It's in these early hours of the crazy good news that Christ is risen. It's in these early hours that Jesus' disciples and their companions are gathered together in Jerusalem, marveling, wondering about what they are hearing. I mean, who comes back from the dead? People who are most definitely deceased, you know, cold, blue, stiffening with rigor mortis, like Jesus was when they took him down from the cross, well, they don't start breathing again. They don't free themselves of their linen burial cloth, stand up, shake off the cobwebs, and walk out of their tomb. And yet, here Jesus is. Here Jesus is. All of a sudden, he's among the disciples uttering words of peace. They were startled and terrified and thought that they were seeing a ghost, Luke tells us. Yep, they got the heebie-jeebies, all right. But the disciples are not seeing a ghost. No, the resurrected Christ is indeed standing among them and speaking, asking why they are afraid, why they doubt, showing his wounded hands and feet, God still in flesh and bone, scarred and real and hungry, we are told. I guess 3 days dead in a tomb will do that to you. But even after Jesus shows the disciples his hands and his feet, they're still having trouble getting their heads around what is happening. I love how the Gospel of Luke describes the state of mind of the disciples in this crazy turn of phrase. In their joy, they were disbelieving and still wondering. But Jesus doesn't let the disciples sit in their joyous disbelief and wonder for very long. No, he gives them work to do. Jesus opens their minds to understand the scriptures, points to the prophecy now fulfilled in him, that the Messiah is to suffer and to rise from the dead on the third day, and then he tells his disciples that repentance and forgiveness of sins is to be proclaimed in his name to all nations, beginning from Jerusalem. In a few weeks, as we near the end of the Easter season, we'll hear what happens next. I'll give you a preview. Jesus will lead his disciples out to Bethany, bless them, and then be carried up into heaven. We call that event the Ascension of our Lord, which you can see depicted in that marvelous stained glass window back there above the balcony. It's been over 2,000 years now since the Ascension. Over 2,000 years since Jesus returned to his Father after his work of salvation was completed on the cross and in the empty tomb. And yet, somehow, people still experience Jesus, still encounter him, still feel his presence, his healing, his compassion here and now. And it's not because Jesus is floating around our dimension as some sort of ghost, an apparition the faithful can see if they're really paying attention. It's because Jesus still has flesh and bone. Our flesh and bone. We are his body in the world, his hands, his feet, his mouth, his heart. We make Christ real. Every time we gather together in his name, every time we feast at his meal, every time we welcome the stranger or say a prayer for someone who is hurting, or work on a quilt for Lutheran World Relief, or show up at our umpteenth church committee meeting for the week, or sing praises to our risen Lord, we put flesh and bone on Jesus, and we make the good news of his life, death, and resurrection real. We are the evidence that Christ is risen.
He is risen indeed.
Hallelujah. Thanks be to God for the opportunity we have to continue the work Jesus gave his disciples so long ago, to proclaim repentance and forgiveness of sins in his name to all nations, beginning from Jerusalem, in places like Carlisle.